O God, who didst teach the hearts of thy faithful people by sending to them the light of thy Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Confessional reading this morning from the Augsburg Confession, Article 28 of Ecclesiastical Power. But concerning this question, it is taught on our part, as has been shown above, that bishops have no power to decree anything against the gospel. The canonical laws teach the same thing. Now it is against Scripture to establish or require the observance of any traditions, to the end that by such observance we may make satisfaction for sins or merit grace and righteousness. For the glory of Christ's merit suffers injury when by such observances we undertake to merit justification. But it is manifest that by such belief traditions have almost indefinitely multiplied in the Church, the doctrine concerning faith and the righteousness of faith being meanwhile suppressed. For gradually more holy days were made, passed, appointed, new ceremonies and services in honor of saints instituted, because the authors of such things thought that by these works they were meriting grace. Thus in times past the penitential canons increased, whereof we still see some traces in the satisfaction. So far, our confessional reading. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So far, our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised about, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galilee? And how do we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying to one another, What meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, These men are full of new wine. So far our epistle reading.
Hallelujah.
Our gospel reading from the gospel according to St. John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 31. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Here ends our reading of the Gospel.
Thank you.
this morning is that epistle reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13.
I'd like to reread at this time verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Please be seated. I'm going to break one of my homiletical rules this morning and begin with something I usually hate hearing a speech begin with, and that is a personal historic anecdote. Beginning to study the text for this sermon, I ran across a quote that I had taken years ago from the Concordia Journal, and it was from Wanyang Ji, Reverend Dr. Wanyang Ji, and he had this to say: on this day, Christians everywhere do well to look back seriously with thanksgiving to their rich legacy. Where that gets personal is Dr. Wanyang Ji was Korean born, studied in Germany in our sister church there, Missouri Synod Sister Church, taught for years in their schools, and then was called to Concordia Seminary. Very first quarter that Dr. G was teaching at Concordia Seminary, I had him for Confessions 3. And Dr. G had a little problem. His mother language was Korean, of course. He'd been learning and teaching in German for years, and here he is teaching Confessions in English. He had a serious problem. Every now and then he'd stop and write something in German on the board and stand back and look at it. And I think he was translating it from German to Korean and then to English. Brilliant man. Later on, he went back to Korea to our sister church there, taught in their schools, and I think ended up as president of their church body. But at any rate, listen to what he said. On this day, Christians everywhere do well to look back seriously with thanksgiving to their rich legacy. That's what I'm going to try to do this morning. Luke begins the account of Pentecost with this visual and audible manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Sound like the rushing of the wind and flames, or something looking like flames of fire divided on the saints. Interestingly, the gospel writers, talking about the ministry of Jesus, like Mark begins his saying this beginning of the gospel. That's how Mark begins his recording, this beginning of the gospel. Luke, who of course wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, begins his book of Acts this way: the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Audible and visual manifestations of the Holy Spirit begin the ministry of the Holy Christian Church, the birthday, if you will, of the Christian Church. There's some audible and visual manifestations of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of another ministry. And this, too, is written by Luke. When all the people were baptized, baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." So too, audible and visual manifestations of the Holy Spirit as Jesus begins his gospel ministry. Now, at the birthday of the Christian church, so it is in this outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
It wasn't, of course, that people didn't know the Holy Spirit, especially the disciples. They knew the Holy Spirit well from their scriptures, if you will. Think of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2.
Chapter 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void.
And the Spirit of God was moving on the surface of the waters." And of course,
many mentions of the Holy Spirit and his activity through the prophets and the Old Testament.
And they had, in fact, these disciples received a special manifestation, not manifestation, but a special giving of the Holy Spirit on the night Jesus was raised from the dead.
Remember, he breathed on that. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained."
One writer says about this time, now, at the beginning of the ministry of the Holy Christian Church, "Now they experienced what their Lord had promised, that the prophet Joel had foretold for the last days, the pouring out in unprecedented fullness of the Spirit of God upon all flesh." In Jesus' promise had been, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." He will testify of me. Now, after Pentecost, a little story Luke tells us. Peter and John, going through town, come upon a man begging and crippled. And by the name of Christ, he is raised and able to walk. Doesn't work out real well. They're arrested, of course, and dragged before the Sanhedrin. The same folk guys who just, 2 months earlier, something like that, got arrested, tried, and gotten Jesus crucified. And in fact, Peter, remember, he's a little worried about these guys. He denied 3 times that he even knew Christ. "But the Spirit who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me," says Jesus. Peter got up, tried before the Sanhedrin, same group. Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, he testified, "Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," and he goes on to say, "nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Through the book of Acts, there's 3 times where Luke makes a statement, "The word of the Lord," or "the word of God grew." From Pentecost on till we get to Acts chapter 6, there's descriptions of primarily Peter's proclamation, testifying of Jesus. And then he says in, Luke writes in Acts 6, 7, "Then the word of God grew, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem,
and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. The word of the Lord grew. And remember, Jesus had told them that they would testify of him in Jerusalem, in Judea, and into the whole world. Following that, we get Stephen's arrest. He's martyred with the blessing of Saul of Tarsus. Saul persecutes the followers of Christ, gets authority from the Sanhedrin to go to Damascus, see if he can't round up some Christians there. And on the trip, Christ appears to him and calls him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And Barnabas is in Antioch. Now we're out in Gentile territory. And he sends for Saul, brings him back. And after Barnabas and Saul had been sent to Jerusalem with some offerings for the people there, we read in Acts chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Then began the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. And we read later on in Ephesus, where he spent 3 years, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed in Ephesus. The book of Acts ends with Paul in Rome. And before that, maybe 20 to 25 years at the most, after Pentecost, Paul is writing his letter to the Romans. Remember that? Letters to the Christians in Rome. And this is before Paul has even gotten to Rome. But the word of the Lord had grown. We stand on the shoulders of the Holy Christian Church throughout the centuries. You got to remember, they testified to Jesus without the New Testament. If you think about it, when we look at the New Testament, the scriptures we tend to think of, what they testify about Jesus, they're basing on what we think of as the Old Testament. And of course, Jesus had told the Jews, you search the scriptures because you think in them you find eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So we stand on the shoulders of the Holy Christian Church down through the centuries. The writing of the entire New Testament takes place after Pentecost. The scriptures are preserved, not only in the original languages, but many others, by hand copying and keeping very careful care of getting it right. The Reformation, the struggle to restore the gospel to the forefront when the Western Church had drifted into a false theology of salvation by works, as we read in our confessional reading this morning. The church in which we live, work, and have our being stands on the foundation of generation after generation of God's people, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Dr. Wan Yong Ji concluded that quote that I had saved with the whole significance of the text, that is Acts 2, 1 through 13, is contained in the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. What does this mean?
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. Even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And will at the last day raise up me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. The word of the Lord grows. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Guests, thy love, experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for our children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat.
Take
the body of Christ, given for you.
The true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. The body of Christ, given for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink the blood of Christ, shed for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Blood of Christ shed for you.
The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death. Christ, given
partake and drink.
Receive of Jesus Christ.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and drink.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed for you.
Body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Go in peace.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
The Lord make his face
shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.